Okay, good morning, everybody. As Charlene has said, a few others, my name's Lawrence. If you don't know me, I'm one of the children's workers. As the kids came in this morning, they might have got a wee bit of a handout. You don't have to take notes if you don't want to. You can if you want. There's also tables down here if you're really keen. That's okay if you don't want to. I'm going to go through these four shapes this morning to help me explain about living well. When we talk about living well physically, there's always the fruit of it that you would say, I want to get into shape, I want to get into good shape. But as Christians, I believe that these four shapes that I'm going to talk about this morning are really important for each of us. Yes, we all come in different shapes and sizes, but there's these four shapes that we should all have in common as Christians. So they are the triangle, the heart, the nonagon, which is a nine-sided shape. We'll get to that later. I had to Google what a nine-sided shape was. I wasn't sure. And a circle. And we will get to them. But I think that if we don't have these shapes right, sometimes you might find your Christian life is kind of like pushing a square peg into a round hole. You might have experienced it with your kids or yourself when you're trying to they're trying to get it in. They're like, why is it not working? Or in a jigsaw piece. One of the kids was telling me after the first service that their wee sister always tries to put a giraffe in the elephant bit, and she's like, why won't it go in? But as Christians, we can find, if we're not getting these shapes right that I'm going to talk about, that you might find that's your experience as a Christian, that it's really labored, and you think, I just can't do this. What's the point? And then that might mean that you walk away. The first one is the triangle, and this I'm going to talk about is the Trinity. When we baptize people, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to be a healthy Christian, you need to have a healthy view of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have our triangle has set is back. And the way I like to think about this really simply, because it is complicated. The Trinity is very complicated, but how God is our source of provision. He provides everything for us. Each breath is from God. He provides the light when he created the world. He also provided Jesus as a sacrifice for our sin, and he gave us the helper of his Holy Spirit. God is our source of provision. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. Natalie talked about how God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How Jesus is our source of peace. That the only way we can have a relationship with God is through Jesus, because of that sacrifice that he made on the cross. And how the Holy Spirit is our source of power. How he lives in each and every one of us. Romans 8:11 says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. As Christians, we should have a healthy view of the Trinity, and that is our triangle. The second one then, very simple, is our heart. Thank you, Samara. And we should have, I think there's three heart conditions that we should have that help us as Christians to listen to God and then to live for him. And they are that we should have an undivided heart, a pure heart, and a tender heart. An undivided heart, well, King Solomon, I think I might have said Saul in the first service. That was a big mistake. Solomon prayed for wisdom and he pleased God because he could have anything, but he prayed for wisdom. The problem was there were so many things in his life that had turned his heart away from God. He had so much money, so many riches, so many wives, so many concubines. And eventually, it divided his heart and he turned away from God. We need to have hearts that are set on him, that are undivided. We need to have pure hearts as well. This is the verse from Undivided. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your ways, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. A pure heart. Well, King David says in Psalm 51:10, he prayed to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a loyal spirit within me. And this is his prayer after he had sinned against God, when he had cheated, when he had lay down with Bathsheba and he had sinned. And he had to repent to God. And this was his prayer of repentance because he knew that sin had got into his heart and had taken over his life. I had a weird experience last night when I was in the shower and I noticed that the water was very brown. And I realized, well, I don't wear fake tan. It's not from me. I wasn't out in the dirt today. It was that my water had become polluted, so I had to get out and use the rest of the water in my water filter, and it was freezing, okay? But what had happened was my water source had become polluted, which meant my kitchen water was affected, my sink water, my shower water. And if our hearts are polluted, if they become impure, it means that everything that flows from our heart becomes polluted as well. The love that we try to give others becomes polluted as well. We need to make sure that we look after the source of our love, which is our heart, that we have pure hearts. And the last one is a tender heart. Matthew 14:14. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus, when he walked around, he was moved with compassion. He didn't have a hard heart. He didn't look around and see just sinners and stuck in their sin. He was moved with compassion for them. And as we go about our daily business, are we moved with compassion, or do we harden our hearts against it? Paul in Philippians 1:8 says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Again, he alludes that compassion that Jesus had and that he tried to have as well. And we should have that compassion as well with tender hearts. Next one then, Dylan Jardine is going to bring up our circle. Each of us have a circle. We have a circle of trust. We have a sphere of influence. And it's made up of different parts, okay? So, but right at the center is our core. Right at the center is our core. And our core is the part of something that is central to its existence or character. As Christians, God should be that core. He should be the central to our existence and our character, to our very being, our core. Like, God wants to be at our core. But the problem is, there is a battle for that. There's so many things that battle for it. And Danny Silk, in his book, Keep Your Love On, talks about how we need to have boundaries so that our core doesn't become affected, but also our core relationships as well. So this might be an example of that. So God at the core, then the next kind of circle would be close family, close friends. If you're married, your wife or your husband. Next, friends, other family, and then further out, acquaintances and others. The problem is, because we're so connected with phones, with emails, it blurs the lines. We're with family and we're spending quality time with them, but anybody can contact us, and it takes us away from that. And the same can happen with God. I find it a lot easier to read my Bible on my phone. It's just, I just find it a lot easier. But the problem is, when I used to do it, I would have had notifications set that would come on, or my phone would vibrate, and that would distract me. And I think a lot of people can be like that, even reading the Bible or with friends as well, when actually you're sitting, you're out for dinner and your phone goes and you're on it. And the problem is, there is so many things that are fighting for our core that it blurs the lines. We don't have those boundaries that we should have. And even with social media, we live to please everybody else except those people that we really should do, the people who are closest to us, and especially God as well. So we need to sort out our circle. Last one then is this weird shape, the nonagon. Now, it's the shape that's weird, not Emma. Emma's great. But the nonagon, why the nonagon? Why to finish as well? Well, this, for me, this stands for the 9 fruits of the Spirit that we're meant to produce as Christians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's meant to be the 9. The problem is, sometimes we think, well, I'm good at some of those, but not so much at others. So I'll make mine a hexagon, because self-control, I'm not really good at that. Anytime I see cake, it's like, I need cake. But again, if you don't show self-control in one part of your life, I think that it goes into other parts of your life as well. With joy, it is a fruit of the Spirit. We should be joyful as Christians because we have this hope. Or faithfulness. But sometimes we can just cross ones off and think, well, that doesn't really fit with my personality or my circumstances. But God wants us to have this shape, the nonagon. He doesn't want us to try and fit the hexagon through the nonagon shape, or even worse, to try and fit a square through and think, well, I'm only going to work on peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. No, it doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. It's meant to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's meant to be 9. And to work on these shapes, yeah, it's going to take time. It's going to take patience, like working on your physical health as well. But to fit them through, it's worth it to live in that fullness that God has for us, to live well. And I've been really challenged by this hashtag that the youth guys are using at the minute, because the first time I saw it, it's meant to be I'm in Christ. But the first time I saw it, I saw something different. And you can find this with hashtags because there's no spaces. It can end up awkward if you've got two words beside each other and you can get some awkward hashtags. But for me, the first thing I saw was I minimize Christ. And it was a challenge that I wanted to give you. Does your hashtag say, I'm in Christ? Or does it say, I minimize Christ? Does your life say that to others? Because the Bible reading was talking about this banquet that God has invited everybody to. And we have to make sure that people know that they are invited. That is our job as Christians. It's not just, Christianity isn't about sitting around and enjoying the feast. It's about making sure as many as possible take their seats at God's table. It's not just about you just sitting and enjoying it and not worrying about anybody else. I get the privilege of singing at a lot of weddings, which means I get a lot of good food. But the problem is when I'm sitting there, I have this different role that I have to think about because I'm going to have to get up after and sing at the wedding reception. And we can't just sit and just concentrate on our own feast or meal and just say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to make sure that we're actually living for others as well, that we're living well, that we have these shapes right so that we can make sure the people out there, the people in our lives, know that they are invited to God's table as well. On Friday, we have a kids' club life group, and it might have seemed a bit heathen to go to the cinema instead of sit around and chat, but my cousin had wanted to go see this film, and I didn't realize that actually there was a lot of spirituality about this story. It's called 1517 to Paris, and these three guys, and they actually play themselves in the film, so you might not be inspired by the acting. The acting wasn't great, but the story was incredible, and it was inspiring because these three guys stopped a terrorist attack on a train from Amsterdam to Paris. And throughout the film, they talk about how they just feel called to a bigger purpose, as Natalie was talking about, this purpose that we have. But they're trying to be put off going to Paris because people keep saying to them, no, don't go see Paris. Like, go somewhere else. Go to Amsterdam and then, you know, go to Spain. But they thought, no, I think we need to be there. And then eventually they stopped this terrorist attack. This man who's on this train with 300 live rounds of ammunition, and they stopped it. And it was incredible. I do recommend going and seeing it, but don't be expecting amazing acting. But they did play themselves. But Spencer Stone, which was the guy in the navy suit, he says this prayer throughout. They all struggle in school. They go to a Christian school and they struggle in it. But again, they feel called to this higher purpose. And Spencer would pray this from he was a child and then when he was older. And it's this peace prayer of St. Francis. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And this prayer ended up propelling them towards this purpose that they had. And God has this amazing purpose for each of us. You're not here by accident. You're not here just to fill a seat. God has a purpose for you as well. To live well, yes, with all these shapes, but he wants to use you to make sure that people out there know that they have a seat at God's table. So I want to challenge us this morning as the band come and get ready. I want us all to stand and to challenge you to say this prayer together. Again, you don't have to. If you think, I wouldn't mean it if I prayed it, it's absolutely fine. I'm not going to be looking around thinking they're not praying it. But if you want to say to God today, yes, I'm in Christ, And if maybe your life has been minimizing Christ, well, today's the best day to get that sorted. Don't say, no, I'll sort it on Monday or I'll sort it next week because I've got stuff on this week. Say to him today, God, I want to live well for you. So just, let's just take a moment. We just close our eyes and then we'll say this prayer together after we just do business with God first. We pray together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. God, we thank you that you have chosen each of us, God, that you want us at your table, you want us in your kingdom, God. And I pray that each of us would choose to sort out these shapes in our lives, God, to have a healthy view of you, God. I pray that you would give us undivided, pure hearts and tender hearts, God. Help us to sort out our circle if it's a mess. Help us to have courage to set those boundaries with our phones, with our friends, in each part of our life where you put your hand on right now, God. And help us not just to cross off the list the fruits of the Spirit that don't suit us, God, but help us to work on all of them, God. And yes, that will take patience and persistence, God, but thank you that you're the source of our power through your Holy Spirit, God. So be with us. Help us to live this out, God. We can't do it without you. In Jesus' name, amen.